When I was growing up, our family had a cabin up near a lake, about an hour north of here. And we spent most of our weekends there. We built a cabin during the day, and we played hard and water skied. But my favorite times were late at night, when I would stare up into the sky. In the summer, the buzz of the insects and the croaking frogs kept me company. In the winter, I would drive a skidoo out into the middle of the lake. And as I lay on that 2-foot-thick ice, listening and feeling thunder underneath me as the ice cracked, I contemplated the stars. I contemplated, how far out is that edge of the universe? Can I see it? What would it look like? And for a teenager, I had some pretty deep questions. Why is the universe the way it is? Why isn't it something else? Is there other life out there, staring back at our sun, wondering if there's other life out there? Is there a God who made it all? Why am I here? I was so small in comparison to the grandness of the universe. And contemplating the stars led me quite naturally to a love of science fiction. Star Trek and Star Wars were my favorites. Growing up, they sparked my imagination. And a big high five to Gene Roddenberry for inspiring generations of scientists and engineers who invented communicators, video conferencing, voice interface, Siri, where am I? And to my junior high teachers, I am carrying a calculator around in my pocket. I don't need to learn my times tables. I'm still waiting for the app for transporter technology. Science and science fiction meet sometimes. Imagination becomes reality. As I later discovered, many of the concepts in Star Trek in particular are actually based on actual science. This led me to read about physics and cosmology, and I doubt I will ever understand the math and how that works. But the concepts that the scientists are working with keep bumping in to philosophy and theology, which leads me right back to more contemplation. But now, my questions are even bigger than when I was growing up. What if God is still in the middle of creating every possible universe? There's a big question. We just happen to live in one universe. But did you know that our universe is based on about 20 foundational physical constants? And if any one of those is just tweaked a little bit, we have an entirely different universe. Some of them are so unstable, they pop in and out of existence like that. Some of them will end up looking a lot like our universe, but may not have life. Some of them may be virtually identical to our universe, and there may be a First Baptist Church out in another universe somewhere gathering on a Sunday morning, and they might look a lot like you sitting here. My imagination is sparked by science and fiction. But let's stick with our own universe for today. It's much too hard to contemplate the entirety of creation. Let's get to our passage. And in Romans 8 that Ryan just read, my theology and my cosmology bump into each other. And I'll share a little bit about what I see and what I understand when I read this passage. The creation is mentioned several times in this passage, the creation, right? So let's go back to the beginning of creation for a moment. Genesis 1 says, the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. In my humble opinion, that is the period, most period, understated period, sentence in the Bible, period. I think we have read the passage too often. I think we read it anticipating what the list is going to look like. I think we read it with our civilized restraint in our Bible reading. I think we hear God say something like, I think light might be a good start. All right then. Let there be light. Clap on. Isn't that marvelous? What a good day's work. Come on. I see much more than that. The Trinity, the community of God, hanging out together, enjoying each other's company, getting a creative urge, brooding, planning, strategizing. What if? What if? And finally, the moment comes and God's command rings out, "Let there be light." And out of nothing, a blaze of light and energy and heat just explodes into existence. And it keeps expanding and expanding, this ball of fire growing larger for seconds and minutes and decades and millennia. Expanding so fast, particles don't even have time to form. It's just this stream of plasma going out into the, making a universe. And after 200 million years, it cools down enough and slows down enough that particles can form. And the particles start clumping together. And eventually, stars come together. And there's more fireworks as they burst into life and burst out of life. The fireworks display growing. And about 4.5 billion years ago, matter clumped together in our solar system, and our Earth was formed. And then a few 100,000 years later, the elements that were created through all of these exploding stars came together under the perfect right circumstances, and the beginnings of life began. And that life got more complex and more complex until here we are. God's cosmic fireworks of creation. It's been going on, scientists figure, for about 13.7 billion years. And the Spirit of God has been hovering and brooding over it all. Stars continue to be born and explode and die. Life continues to be born and to die. Let there be light. Awesome. Marvelous. Glorious. A good day's work, indeed. And Romans says this: "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of the one who subjected it." Wait, whoa, hold on. Why would God subject such a magnificent display to futility? And I understand that creation itself has been tainted by our human sins. We see the results of our lack of creation care every day. Pollution sputters from our cars. We can't swim or fish in our river. Our landfills are full of plastic that won't decompose for 500 or 1,000 years. But I think there's a little more to this verse. Pollution is a contributor to climate change, but also climate change is part of the natural processes of life on Earth over millennia. We may somehow survive the coming climate apocalypse that some are predicting in the next 100 years. But even then, if we master that, we will need to master space travel and colonize other planets for our species to exist, because our sun's going to explode in 4 billion years. We got some time. But even then, even if we manage to colonize parts of our galaxy, most scientists predict that the universe will end at some point. Some think that gravity will overpower this outward, and it will all come back together into this massive crunch. Other scientists think that it's just going to keep going outward and getting faster and faster until every particle of matter flings apart and there's nothing left. It appears that creation wasn't intended to last forever. But let's put that back into the context of what Romans is saying. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I have to read that several times every time I come to this passage. God subjected creation to futility, but it was done in hope. Hope that creation itself, that vast expanse of our universe, somehow that would be set free from this futility, from this bondage to decay and corruption. Hope that creation itself would obtain the freedom that we are going to experience as the children of God when we receive our resurrected bodies. All of creation freed from Jesus' resurrection. That was powerful. It was really super powerful. I mean, it was powerful enough when Jesus freed us from the law of sin and death that Ryan talked to us about a couple weeks ago. That's pretty powerful. It was powerful when we have the life of the Spirit living and guiding us and freeing us from sin and desires of the flesh that Anne talked about last week. That's all amazing. And that's all awesome. But it doesn't stop there. As the Spirit lives and moves and broods within us, all of creation is being set free. We have a part to play. And we can see glimpses of this creation being brought back to life even now. We see people being inspired to create cleaner energy technologies that have less impact on our environment. We see people cleaning up the plastic in the ocean. We see people disentangling whales from nets and people taking fish hooks out of sharks' mouths. Wow. I see these as miracles. I see these as the result of the Spirit hovering and moving people with compassion for creation and its creatures. We have a role to play as the Spirit broods and moves within us. The universe appears so hostile. Stars explode and asteroids crash into planets. Our planet has earthquakes and volcanoes and tornadoes and fires and floods. It's chaos out there. But the Spirit is brooding and moving and hovering and bringing life and light and freedom into that chaos. Those are pretty big, heady concepts. Let's pull it back in just a little bit. What about our lives? Do they appear chaotic every now and then? Sometimes out of control? We're subject to pain and grief, health and mental health issues. Relations can be under stress or fall apart completely. Our security and safety can be threatened. And yet the Spirit of God moves and hovers and broods in all of that. The trouble is, we often miss what the Spirit is doing. When our lives start feeling unsteady, we start to build up our control systems. Maybe you can relate to some of these. If I just had a newer house with hardwood floors and marble countertop, then I wouldn't have to deal with this ugly old house. If I just lost a little weight, maybe I'd feel better about myself. If I just sent my kids to a new school so they could make new friends, maybe they wouldn't get into so much trouble. If my parents would just move into a home so I wouldn't have to worry about them so much. Now, don't get me wrong. None of those strategies are intrinsically wrong in themselves. What happens when we try and hold on to these things all of the time? Okay, my house, my roof is over my head. I need to call in the window guy. I need to call in the floor guy. I need to, on and on. It never ends. Okay, kids, school, dance lessons, youth group, soccer practice. Okay, they're not bored. My spouse, I think we have date night scheduled for 2 weeks from now. We're good. Dinner with parents on Sunday. We're good. My job is fine. I could ask about that raise, but it's under control. And we do this, And when each new thing comes up, we do this. We try and hold it all at bay. We try and control it all. What happens? We end up living in this little box, this little prison that we've designed for ourselves. And there's no room for time to think. And there's no room for time to enjoy life. We're just doing and doing and making it all happen. There's no room for creative imagination of what God might want to do with us. And what happens when that next crisis comes? I can't do this all. What happens? Most of us are actually pretty good at this, and we just, you know, rebalance, reshift a few things, but we're still caught in the same thing. But what if we're not supposed to do all that? What if we don't have to be smart enough? We don't have to be good enough? We don't have to be strong enough to hold our lives together all the time? What if we do all that because our greatest fear is it's all going to come crashing down on us and we'll have nothing left? All our effort will fall to the side. It's one of our greatest fears, right? That we'll be left in the chaos. But what if the Spirit is doing something different? What if the Spirit is moving and hovering and brooding and blows out those walls that we've constructed for ourselves? What if we're left sitting in that ash heap? We'll feel chaos. We'll feel disorientation. We'll feel panic. We'll feel fear and out of control. But what if we try and lean into the storm of the Spirit instead of trying to reconstruct all of this, which is exhausting? What if we allowed the Spirit to transform those feelings of panic and fear into excitement and exhilaration? Have you stood out in a storm? You can stand there and shiver as the rain comes down. Or you can embrace and go, oh, this rain is glorious. What if we leaned into the storm? What if we allow the Spirit to help us re-envision our entire lives? What if we allow the Spirit to reignite our sense of adventure and our zest for life? The Spirit is moving and hovering and brooding and trying to bring life and light in our chaos. And we just try to control everything. What if this work of the Spirit is only the beginning of what is to come? For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Life is not easy. We groan. We wait. But when we receive our resurrected bodies, that Spirit hovering and brooding within us, that spills out to all of creation. And all of creation is set free. And I must admit that for all my contemplation and all my trying to understand how the universe works, I really have no idea what that will look like. But I have a whole new set of questions. What will this new heaven and new earth look like? Will it be made of matter? Will God do something with the universe to make it steady and stable? Will it exist as spirit and as matter like Jesus did after he was resurrected? I don't know. But most importantly, I come to the same conclusion that Paul came to. I have hope. Hope that there is so much more than what I see going on in front of me. I have hope that the Spirit continues to move and hover and brood in our lives to bring light and life and freedom, even in the middle of chaos. And I have hope that this grand cosmic story is unfolding as it should.